these times, he said, "I myself feel that our country, for whose constitution I fought in a just war, might as well have been invaded by Martians and body snatchers." He's speaking to the Bush administration. He says, "Sometimes I wish it had been."
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
It's been taken over by the sleaziest, low-comedy, Keystone Cop-style coup d'etat imaginable. Kurt Vonnegut.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Now we know the Virginia Tech gunman wanted to be infamous, to make sure people would know who he was, why he set out to kill.
NBC News in New York received correspondence that we believe to have been from Cho Sung-hui.
That's Colonel Steve Flaherty at the Virginia State Police. The package included a manifesto, pictures, and videos. And we've learned more today.
I'm Cammie McCormick in Blacksburg, Virginia, where the head of the Virginia Tech Police tells reporters there were two complaints filed against the gunman in Monday's shootings in the fall of 2005. In the first case, a female student said Sung-hui Cho made contact with her. She called it annoying but did not press charges. In the second case, Cho sent an instant message to another female student. No threat was made, but she also filed a complaint and asked that Cho be kept away from her. An acquaintance of Cho later contacted authorities concerned he might be suicidal. It was at that point he was taken to a mental health facility but later released.
Today also brought the first of what will be 32 victims' funerals.
Prayers in Hebrew for Liviu Lebrescu. 76-year-old engineering professor blocked his classroom door long enough for many students to escape out the window. His widow, Marlena Lebrescu, told reporters she's not surprised.
All his life was his students. He was like a father for them.
Lebrescu, who survived the Holocaust, was killed ironically on Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day. Marla Diamond, CBS News, Brooklyn, New York.
The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the legality of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act.
After a string of court defeats, abortion opponents are hailing this big victory. Douglas Johnson of National Right to Life says this particular procedure should be banned.
The living baby is mostly delivered alive before being killed.
This was not a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade, but Kate Michaelman at the abortion rights group NARAL is worried.
This signals a real threat to Roe long term.
The ban will be revisited by a Congress now controlled by Democrats and will surely become a presidential election issue. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
This once again was Baghdad. 183 people were killed by four suspected Sunni terror bombs today, Shiite neighborhoods of Baghdad. President Bush and congressional leaders came out of their meeting on funding for the Iraq war, the same as when they went in.
Both sides agreed the meeting was polite, but there was no hint of compromise. House Republican leader John Boehner made clear the president will not give the Democrats what they want in a bill funding the troops.
The real issue here, and the first big issue, is whether, in fact, we're going to agree to a surrender date, and that's not going to happen.
But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Bush will not get a blank check for the war in Iraq. She says Democrats will work with him to bring the war to an end.
That's CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller at the White House. It's a new record on Wall Street. The Dow gained nearly 31 points to close at almost 12,804. First time we've ever heard that number. The Nasdaq lost 6 points on the day. This is CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
You got a Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect too, alright. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chop.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
On Wednesday, the new Saturday.
President Bush had a warning today for Sudan.
President Bush warns of U.S. economic sanctions and other actions if Sudan fails to stop the genocide in Darfur. Mr. Bush said time is running out for Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir.
And he must stop his pattern of obstruction once and for all.
The president used a speech at the U.S. Holocaust Museum to challenge Sudan to allow the deployment of a joint U.N. African peacekeeping force. He said if Sudan fails to meet its obligations, the U.S. will act. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
In Highlands, North Carolina, a Georgia woman, it's not far away, is suing the funeral home. She says they didn't dig the grave right. She was at a service for her friend, walked up to place some flowers on the casket, slipped and fell in, broke her hip. The woman won't say how old she is, but her husband's 92. She says, yes, she's old, but she's not ready for the grave. Her husband says he's lost her affections lately. So they are suing for $75,000. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Go now. Call now.
Peter B. Collins.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, a woman would have a right to choose an abortion. Today, the Supreme Court ruled in what I think is the first phase of their long-term effort to ban abortion in this country. They, I'm referring to the Christian right. We've got a lot to talk about today, and we'll get to the Supreme Court decision later in the program. Coming up in a moment, we're going to meet a former Republican and a former Congressman, Pete McCloskey. He'll talk with us. In about a half an hour, we're going to dial up Lebanon. Dar Jamail is in Beirut. We tried to reach him in Damascus, Syria about 10 days ago, and we were unsuccessful. But we hope to be able to connect with him and get his first-person account of what's going on in the Middle East these days. We'll get his reaction to the recent visit by Nancy Pelosi and some Republican members of Congress to Syria. We'll also get the two-week report on the resolution of the Iranian-British showdown over the gunboat diplomacy there in the Shatt al-Arab waterway. Also on today's program, Democratic activist Mike Lux will join us from American Family Voices. We're going to talk about the meeting at the White House today. Apparently, no opinions were changed. But it was interesting because Bush sat between Pelosi and Reid at the conference table. And we'll get some account of that. Also talk about the Senate stalling action on a reform of the Medicare prescription drug bill that would require the government to actually negotiate bulk discounts on behalf of seniors in this country. And also, Mike Lux might comment, if we have time, on John McCain, his recent comments that there's no plan B in Iraq. We've got to stick with this so-called surge. And over 200 people have been killed in Baghdad today in just one day of carnage. And then as we wrap up the second hour, we'll be joined by Amy Everett, California State Director for NARAL Pro-Choice California. We'll talk about that very important Supreme Court decision that was announced this morning. And it may come as a surprise to you because most of the media coverage is still focused on the crime scene there at Virginia Tech. And there, of course, is other important news breaking these days. We'll do our best to cover it. And we'll be taking your calls all along the way and in the free speech zone in our final hour. The toll-free number to call is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Well, joining us to kick off the show today is a man I have great admiration for, and I used to register as a Democrat. I'm now an independent or declined a state voter here in California. But once upon a time, a guy named Pete McCloskey was running for the United States Senate, and I crossed over and registered as a Republican to help him in that effort. Well, Pete McCloskey has crossed party lines in the other direction. Pete, welcome to our program today.
Good to talk to you, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. And from what I've read in the papers and a couple of emails that I got, you were at your local courthouse the other day, and you just decided you've had enough.
Yeah, I maybe should have done it a long time ago, Peter, but my family had been Republican since 1859 in this state. That was a year before Lincoln was elected, and we've seen the party just absolutely taken over by the religious right and the right ideologues. People take us into war that have never been heard a shot fired in anger. Budget balances down the tubes. They want to reduce the taxes on the rich and the state taxes. It's just a party that I just no longer felt comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. And it's fair to say the Republican Party has left you.
Well, I don't know. They just changed, and, you know, everybody changes from time to time. When we look back in our lives and realize we were wrong on certain things years ago, but to have Pat Robertson and Bush and the people that are running the party today, and particularly these Republican congressmen who time after time, if I see, get up in front of these oversight committee hearings, which are finally bringing some truth about the Attorney General and the frauds and the Justice Department and the politicizing. You see, Republicans stand up and try to defend something that to me is indefensible. The Attorney General's number three person went to the Robertson Law School, never tried a case, and she's number three at Justice, and she takes the Fifth Amendment. I mean, what kind of a party can defend that?
Yeah, I certainly understand your anguish. And, in full disclosure, you ran for Richard Pombo's seat in the primary last year, and I was pleased to be a part of your campaign team and help you in that effort. And some people now speculate, and of course hindsight's always very powerful, that if you had changed parties and run against Jerry McNerney in the primary and then faced off against Pombo in the fall, that you might currently be that Congress member.
That would be bad for me, my children, and the country. I wanted Pombo defeated. We couldn't find anybody else to run against him. The Republican Party still had people like Lincoln Chafee and Jim Leach and people I respected, but I didn't think I could win at the start. Had I won, it would have been fine, but I think McNerney's a fine congressman. He's listening to people, and he's thinking, and he's good. And I don't miss that place. I'm mm-hmm. too old to go back every week like I used to.
We had our first checkup with Jerry McNerney last week, Pete, and on two key issues, I found he's moving in the right direction, but I didn't find him sufficiently passionate on the supplemental bill that provides additional funding for the war in Iraq with some strings attached. He described it as, to him, the ideal package. And I pointed out that while I appreciate that this is the first time that the Congress has asserted itself and tried to rein in the president, that I don't believe this incremental effort, this effort to negotiate with the White House, will work. And I think that the stalemate that we saw in the meeting today with Pelosi, Reid, and the president supports that. And ultimately, I think we're going to be confronted with the kind of choices that you had to face when you were a member of Congress and wanted to see an end to the Vietnam War.
Well, yeah, I'd been a Marine. I'd volunteered to go to Vietnam in 1965. I was elected in 67. And the more I saw that war, I just came to think it was a disaster. And I think the same is true of Iraq. I think the problem for the Democrats is figuring out how to do it gracefully, how to get out quickly and yet not in such a way that that jeopardizes the remaining troops there. It's a tough one. I don't know. I think Nancy Pelosi has problems because she's got Democrats from every spectrum that want to get out tomorrow and then that don't want to get out. Jerry's got a son over there. He's got every reason to want to save his son's life, among others, but it's tough. And everybody's got to make up his own mind on it, but I have faith he'll be making the right decision.
Yeah. The other issue that I brought up, you may not be way up to speed on, but it's Rush Holt's bill, H.R. 811, which is an attempt to address the problems with electronic voting machines and other irregularities and inconsistencies in our electoral process.
Well, I'm all for it. We formed the Revolt of the Elders to really try to restore honesty to the Republican leadership when they were trying to protect delay. We've kept in existence to do four things, and one of them is a paper ballot trail for electronic voting. One is public financing of elections. One is honest redistricting by an independent group. And those are worthy things to try. To restore public faith in our process is going to take all of those things.
Well, Pete, take another look, if you would, at the Holt bill, because I believe that it is inadequate. It's got the right intentions, but because it permits a paper trail but doesn't call that a ballot, we have no assurance that paper trails will ever be counted. And the machines themselves are still hackable in other ways. And I join, and this is a strange bedfellow for me, Pete, but the new governor of Florida, Republican Charlie Crist. He's there at the scene of the crime from 2000.
And he's a Republican?
Yeah. And he says that he wants to ban the electronic voting machines from Florida completely. And I support that.
He may be right. It may be that the old paper ballot is the one easiest to record. Of course, you know, in Lyndon Johnson's day, and maybe even when Jack Kennedy was elected, the Chicago ballots, there were always people that claimed they could stuff ballots or do things, but it's a lot safer than this electronic machine, I think.
Well, and Pete, it appears that behind the chicanery of the replacement of the U.S. attorneys was that some of these people were insufficiently rabid on so-called voter fraud. And the New York Times did a great lengthy story last week indicating that nationwide there were maybe 85 instances of voter fraud, and often those were people who were confused or mistaken, didn't know how to fill out the registration form, or didn't know that they were ineligible. And so the Republicans, and Rove in particular, used this phrase about voter fraud as a way, in my view, to suppress voter participation and try to limit that participation to people likely to vote for Republicans.
I think that's always been a part of the political scene, is to some way deprive your opponents of the chance to vote. I remember clear back, 1970, I think Al Lowenstein was running against a fellow from New York named Rooney, and in the Rooney precincts that were for him, they had four voting machines. In the precincts that were once for Al, they had maybe one or two, and they would keep breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember standing in line for a couple of hours after the poll had closed to try to keep people in line to keep voting in one machine. Al ultimately lost by less than 1,000 votes.
Really? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, I think it's been endemic in the business that politicians. I remember John Ehrlichman telling me that, you know, I asked him how he could lie to Congress and go to jail for all those things, and he said, "Well, power corrupts. We came to believe that the re-election of Richard Nixon justified what we were doing, which was a little wiretapping and perjury." And it's amazing how the devotee of a cause can come to believe that fixing or rigging the ballot some way is justified.
Yeah, that's very hard to accept. Pete McCloskey is with us. He has bolted from the Republican Party and registered as a Democrat. If you're a Democrat and you'd like to welcome him to your ranks, feel free to give us a call right now. Or maybe you're a disaffected Republican and you want to follow Pete's trail. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Infiniti Q56, a luxury SUV that's at the top of its class. This is a four-wheel drive, seven-passenger vehicle that's perfect for adventures with a trailer on the back. The Q56 has a muscular and thirsty 5.6-liter fuel-injected V8 engine and a five-speed automatic. Performance is impressive with power, acceleration, traction, and handling. Inside, it's loaded with all the electronics and creature comforts you'd expect, plus power tailgate, intelligent cruise control, DVD with wireless headsets, nav system, and good cargo room with fold-flat rear seats. It's $13,000 less than the Escalade, and I like the Q56 better. By the numbers, the 2007 Infiniti Q56 gets about 13 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $57,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Yourself, why did Pete McCloskey decide to leave the Republican Party? Well, here's a song with a litany of reasons.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Well, hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
As we mentioned, Paul N. Pete McCloskey served with great distinction as a Republican member of the House of Representatives, representing the San Francisco Peninsula for many years. He was also a candidate for president. He supported impeachment of Richard Nixon when it was very unpopular. He was one of the co-authors of the legislation that brought us Earth Day and the Endangered Species Act. And now he's up and said, I've had enough of the Republican Party. And, Pete, there's a powerful article written by a guy named Scott Horton in the new issue of Harper's Magazine, where he makes a distinction between Republicans, who I think you would identify with, and what he calls banana Republicans. And I'm wondering, how deep is this schism? And more particularly, do you believe that efforts like yours, statements like yours, will lead to principled Republicans like Gordon Smith of Oregon and a few others who will really stand up and say, we've had enough, too?
Well, I don't know Gordon Smith. I've watched his record, and it's a good one. I think Chuck Hagel, certainly of Nebraska, Olympia Snow and Susan Collins of Maine. They've seen people like Lincoln Chafee lose. Lincoln was, of course, from Rhode Island, a 70% Democrat state. Jim Leach, a fine Republican from Iowa, one of the moderates, one of the leaders of the House, former chairman of the House Banking Committee, he lost. So you're seeing moderate Republicans lose. You're seeing people like the Club for Growth go out and try to beat moderate Republicans like Arlen Specter in primaries. I think the thing is so deep now, the ideologues that control the party, the religious right, the Pat Robertsons and George W. Bush, I think they've taken the party so far that in my lifetime it can't come back to include a moderate base. And that's a shame because you need two good parties. The ideologues have gotten us into just one heck of a mess, and I don't understand their values. I mean, when they give up balanced budgets, when they increase the size of government, those are against traditional Republican positions.
Now, Pete, let me take the other side of the coin here. Are the Democrats substantially better? And let me just offer you this case in point. I'm deeply disappointed by the Supreme Court ruling today about late-term abortion.
Yeah, me too.
And Democratic senators sat still and listened to both Alito and Roberts say that they would honor precedents and that it would be, you know, it would have to be a very unusual circumstance for them to break with precedents. And they did it with ease in this decision today, affirming portions of the Casey precedent while ripping apart the elements that support their moral desire to ban late-term abortion. And it's the Democrats in the Senate I hold responsible for this more than Alito and Roberts personally.
Well, I don't know about that, Peter. I favored Earl Warren. It was Earl Warren's decision that in Roe versus Wade that opened up the whole issue of women having a right of choice and a constitutional right to privacy and what they did with their own bodies. I think it's just another example of the ideology that has overtaken the Republican Party, this Federalist society, where you almost have to be a member of the Federalist Society to be appointed a judge by this administration. But we've seen this before. We just pray that the five other people will stay alive until there's a Democratic president.
Yeah. Kennedy disappointed me today, too. Justice Kennedy wrote the majority decision. Pete, also, I wanted to just turn this Friday. You're going to be presiding over an event in, I think, La Honda or Woodside, commemorating Earth Day.
Well, you know, Earth Day of 1970, that's 37 years ago, and it revolutionized the country. The kids went out and took out 7 of 12 congressmen they'd labeled a dirty dozen, and when Congress convened in 1971, we had nearly everybody, a majority in both parties, saying they were now environmentalists. And if you look back, it was those years with a Republican president and a Democratic Congress, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, Marine Mammals Act, Estuarine, Coastal Zone, all of those things passed in that four-year period after Earth Day, and as a result of the kids taking out 7 of 12 congressmen, they'd labeled a dirty dozen. So hopefully the pendulum is swinging back.
And what time and exactly where on Friday? I don't have that in front of me. Do you know?
Well, I'm not sure. It's up at the junction of Highway 92 and Skyline, which is
that's La Honda.
The road to San Mateo to Half Moon Bay, and I was supposed to be there at 11:30, but I don't know much about it except they asked me to say a few things about what happened 37 years ago.
All right, well, I'm going to stop by to join you and see what's all going on there.
Great, great.
Dave joins us from Eureka with a quick comment. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Pete, I've long been an admirer, and I often wondered, what's an honest, decent human being like that doing in this Republican Party today? I don't see them as just bumbling incompetence. I see them as willfully destructive to the best interest of the people. They're out to do a lot of harm. I see that. Thank you for doing it, though. Welcome.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the finest men I've ever known is an Eureka attorney named Bob Jansen. And he had more courage than most of us. He was the guy that cracked open that club in Eureka to let women in after 100 years. But, you know, I just felt unclean as I watched all these Republican congressmen stand up or speak out in these committee hearings to try to prevent the disclosure of the truth about the evils.
Pete, I want to thank you for your courage. It's very consistent with your past. I'll see you Friday.
Take care.
Pete McCloskey.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd, the taxi driver, and I'm hacked off this morning. I'm sitting at home relaxing, listening to the radio, and on comes Katie Couric talking about Barack Obama. When I start hearing unfounded and old allegations regarding Mr. Obama's childhood, I had heard these same allegations last week on Fox News. I find it hard to believe that a legitimate news source like CBS News would purposely attempt to influence voters' opinions about a presidential candidate with information they knew was not correct. I sure would like to know who's responsible for this. I may be naive, but isn't it the role of the media to report the news and not to attempt to create news? It's getting harder and harder to find a news source you can trust. I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and I promise I'll always give it to you straight.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
I'm getting a catch as mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie. I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave. A shrinking glacier. I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. And we just awakened Dar Jamail at his hotel in Beirut, Lebanon. Let's see just how groggy he is. Good evening, Dar.
Hey, good evening there, Peter.
Thanks for talking with us and picking up the phone. Katrina had a good time negotiating with the front desk. They weren't sure whether to put the call through. They were trying to protect your privacy and sleep.
so they're awful polite here.
Yeah. Well, as you're waking up, I'll ask you a couple of easy questions, and then we'll get into more serious issues. Tell us a little bit about your travels. I know we tried to hook up with you in Damascus about 2 weeks ago, and we weren't successful. Where have you been, and what have you seen?
Well, I just arrived in Beirut 2 days ago, and I spent the first 2 weeks of this trip over in Damascus focusing very heavily, well, essentially primarily focusing on the Iraqi refugee crisis there. As we've seen now with the recent UN reports, I have a longer piece coming out this Sunday about it, but the overall broad view is it's really an unbelievable crisis. It's quite one thing to read the staggering numbers that there's 1.9 million Iraqis internally displaced within the country. It's a number that's expected to swell, according to the UN, to include 12% of the entire population by the end of this year alone, just internally displaced. Now, that does not include, according to the Syrian government, not the UN, 1.5 million Iraqis who fled to Syria at least, another almost a million to nearby Jordan, and that does not include at least 150,000 that have come to Lebanon, another 150,000 to Egypt. We don't know how many to Europe thus far, or to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Iran. So we're talking about the largest exodus in the Middle East since the Palestinian refugee crisis in 1948.
Mm-hmm. And didn't the United States admit less than 10,000 Iraqis last year?
Actually, since March 2003, they've issued visas to a whopping 466. Under pressure from the UN recently, they agreed to issue another 7,000.
Wow.
So that's 7,000 of well over 4 million. And, of course, that 7,000, they haven't announced when they would issue those and under what criteria.
Yeah, yeah. It's just shameful that we unilaterally invaded and occupied this nation. We have presided over a very divisive civil war that has displaced these people, as you say, many internally and many others who have decided to leave the country. And, Dara, this complicates further any effort to patch together a workable governing framework in Iraq, because I would presume, and correct me if you think this is not a correct generalization, that those who have left are those with some means, those who had maybe a trade or a profession or were part of the professional class in Iraq that was one of the largest per capita in the Middle East under Saddam Hussein.
You're exactly right, Peter. Actually, the most recent statistics, and I'm sure they're outdated now because they're at least a couple of months old, are that 40% of Iraq's middle class have fled. And these are the lucky people. These are the people that have actually at least a little bit of savings, enough to get them out of the country and pay a couple of months' rent in a small apartment someplace in Syria or Jordan. But they're not allowed to work outside of the country. Neither Jordan nor Syria are allowing Iraqis to work officially. So, of course, there's now new low, cheap wage labor available for companies in those countries, which are exploiting that labor. But what I saw time and time again in Syria is you have Iraqi doctors, you have professors, you have engineers, you have academics and teachers, highly, highly qualified people that are relegated to trying to sell tea on the side of the road, sell cigarettes, drive taxis. It's a total disaster because these people can't work. They're sitting there watching their savings deplete day by day, week by week, and they don't know what they're going to do when it's going to run out. I talked to one doctor who said, the rate things are going for him, he's going to have to go back into Baghdad to work because it's the only option he's going to have, despite the fact that he had already received two personal death threats.
And what accommodations is Syria making? I mean, I'm sure this is a burden on that nation as well. But are there refugee camps? Are they attempting to place people in family homes? How are they handling the influx, Dar?
Well, Syria is a small country with an even smaller population. We're talking about a population of roughly 18 million people, but now over 8% of that population is comprised of Iraqi refugees. The country's been rather astounding in maintaining an open-door policy and inviting Iraqis in as guests. but we're talking about a country with at least 25% unemployment before this refugee crisis started. Their economy is very, very weak. They're under commerce type of sanctions by the Bush administration since late 2003. So they were in dire economic circumstances to begin with. So it's really going to, I think, become an even bigger crisis as these Iraqis, the middle class we were talking about, as their savings continues to deplete. Syria, the jobs are just not available there. The UN's doing everything they can to contain the refugee crisis, to keep the Iraqis going to Europe and the U.S., but of course they don't have to worry too much about that. But Syria is really bending under the strain right now of this refugee crisis. And with at least 50,000 Iraqis flooding out of the country every single month, it's, of course, only certain to worsen.
Yeah, we're talking with Dar Jamil. He's live in Beirut, Lebanon, where it's 1:30 in the morning. And we're live on the Peter B. Collins Show here. As he mentioned, he arrived there from Syria just a couple of days ago. Now, Dar, America was focused on a couple of issues related to Syria in the preceding weeks before we got Don Imus, and now we are being tabloided to death because of a shocking crime spree at the Virginia Tech campus on Monday. And a lot of important coverage from the Middle East is not getting through, including the massive deaths in Baghdad today, over 200 people killed in four large bombing incidents. But I want to come back to the visits to Syria that were conducted by Republican and Democratic members of Congress. But the controversy surrounded Speaker Pelosi's crew, which included one Republican, and the appropriateness of her meetings. And very little was reported in the U.S. media about the substance of the conversations that Pelosi and others, including Republican Daryl Issa, had with Bashar al-Assad. Did the issue of these refugees get discussed? Because we didn't hear anything about that in the U.S. media.
As I understand it, the issue of the refugees was really not a priority in that discussion. Rather than the priority of that discussion was her carrying over some demands from the Israeli government being made against Syria. They were regarding to try to keep the issue of the Golan Heights off the table, which is the disputed territory that is actually part of Syria but is continuing to be claimed by the State of Israel. That issue, along with other issues between the two states, a very, very tense relationship. She basically brought and tried to forward Israeli interest to Bashar al-Assad, and as far as I know, from what I've heard at least thus far, is that the refugee crisis really wasn't on the top of the agenda, which is really an astounding thing, because here we have one of the highest-ranking members in the U.S. government talking with the prime minister of a country, or the president of a country, who is dealing with the bleeding of the occupation of Iraq in a very direct way. It's astounding that with all the UN pressure being put on countries, particularly Western countries, to pitch in and do what they can to help this crisis, that she didn't come over and offer any kind of aid package, or at the very least an easing of the commercial restrictions placed on that country by her own country. Instead, it was more lobbying on behalf of the State of Israel.
Yeah. Well, I deplore that, and it disappointed me. But I also see here that it appears to be a missed opportunity, because given what you've described and the impact of Iraqi refugees in Syria, it would seem to me that the U.S. could find an opening there to offer some support to Syria to offset the burden of these refugees and as a way to open up dialogue and hope to create some understandings on other more contentious issues.
You're exactly right. She missed an opportunity to at least put a drop in the bucket towards showing the Iraqi people that the government of our country actually does care about them and is willing to start, now that it's a democratically controlled House to willing to start trying to put the best foot forward, trying to make some reparations, make some compensations, and do what they can. And instead, they really haven't done anything. And I think that's a very important point, Peter, because this is certainly not information that's missed to the over 1.5 million Iraqi refugees now in Syria, a number that's growing by over 1,000 every single day. They're in desperate need. The UN, their budget in 2006, UNHCR in Syria provided less than a dollar per refugee with additional and emergency funding for 2007. That's kicked it up to a little bit over $13 per refugee, not including UNHCR overhead. So we're still talking about a desperate situation that is a direct result of the catastrophic Bush administration invasion and occupation. And still, to this date, we've admitted 466 Iraqis into our country and have done next to nothing and to really try to deal with this mounting critical refugee crisis. It's another slap in the face of the reputation or what's left of it, of our country, when the whole world is watching them really not doing anything to clean up this disaster that they're perpetuating. And being a little bit less diplomatic now towards Nancy Pelosi, if she really was going to respect her constituents who voted her into this position, it's really a slap in the face to them as well. If she's supposedly supposed to end the war, instead she's voting for more funding. She's not doing anything to deal with the refugee crisis and is really just perpetuating Bush policy so far.
Well, I understand your point. It's quite disappointing. We're talking with Dar Jamail. He's live in Beirut, Lebanon, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dar, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is the incident between Iran and Britain is receding from our memories. But it appeared that that might become the provocation or the contrived event that would permit the U.S. to launch a military attack on Iran. What's your current reading of the situation? Has the tension between Britain and Iran dissipated? And is there still a sense in the region that the U.S. has military intentions toward Iran?
That's very, very much present over here in a way that I really, it's difficult to convey to people back in the United States. Everyone here is watching the situation very closely, and particularly Tony Blair, who did not miss the opportunity after that crisis abated somewhat. He was at a press conference, and in 1 minute's time, he mentioned Iran and accusing them of terrorism or sponsoring terrorism 7 times in 1 minute. So that's how he's trying to capitalize on that crisis. Really, the situation here is just as tense. The same number of warships from the U.S. military remain in the Gulf, the same number of troops in Iraq, with now their tours being extended yet again, and the same rhetoric coming from the Bush administration. So really nothing has changed other than, yes, the news has been taken up by the tragedy at Virginia Tech University and other things going on, but the situation remains the same. It is continuing to escalate. It is a slow burn, and people here are very, very concerned of where this might go, and I still expect something big on that front to happen in less than a year's time.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Dar Jamail, live from Beirut, Lebanon. He's a journalist who has traveled widely in the Middle East. You can check out his reporting on his website, darjamailiraq.com. Dar is D-A-H-R, Jamail spelled J-A-M-A-I-L, and you should know how to spell Iraq by now. darjamailiraq.com. More in a moment. Your calls are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that Fagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so,
Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues 9 minutes away from the hour. And coming up next hour, Mike Lux, a Democratic activist from American Family Voices, will join us. We'll talk about the meeting at the White House that we think was a stalemate. Pelosi and Reid went to talk to Bush, and they're sticking to their guns, and he's sticking to his veto threat. That's what we understand. Also, Mike Lux wants to comment on action in the Senate today that blocked an effort to force the Medicare system to negotiate over drug prices for seniors in this country. That's coming up after the top of the hour news. We continue with Dar Jamail, journalist who is live in Beirut, Lebanon at this moment. And I just want to correct, at the outset I mentioned a death toll of over 200 in Baghdad today. We're getting a variety of numbers, and it could be a little lower than that. But suffice it to say, it was another very bloody day in Iraq under the U.S. occupation. And, Dar, the so-called surge does not appear to be successful from these shores, despite the best spin efforts of the White House. And we have Talifer as one example. We have the brazen bombing of the cafeteria right next to the parliament, deep in the green zone. And it's pretty clear to me that the insurgents, the occupied, are not going to accept the U.S. forces' attempts to pacify them, and that any kind of a surge, even with huge numbers, would be ineffectual. What is the sense in the region of at least the PR value of the U.S. surge?
Well, it's really basically ignored over here because, fortunately for the people in the Middle East, they're really not subjected to the propaganda that we are in the United States. Those who at least subject themselves to mainstream corporate media television back over there. So really it's you know, when the initial remarks by Bush about the surge were made, it was kind of laughed off over here, what people have told me. And it's really just not in the media, because the media over here, for the most part, you know, most people are watching Al Jazeera, and they're just really not into repeating Bush administration propaganda, you know, because the reality is what people hear, there's two surges going on regarding Iraq and the Middle East right now, and neither one of them are being put forward by the U.S. military intentionally anyway. And one we discussed at length earlier, that the surging of millions of people out of their homes and out of the country of Iraq. And the other surge is by the Iraqi resistance. If we look at just the death toll this month alone, but U.S. soldiers, we're averaging over four every single day. It's on track to be one of the bloodiest months of the entire occupation. There's no let up in sight. And Muqtada al-Sadr recently ordered his militia to focus all of their attacks on occupation forces. So yeah, we have essentially a third uprising now by Muqtada al-Sadr going on. As I said before, the links of the tours of U.S. troops being extended in Iraq, the military stretched thin. They're desperate for more cannon fodder to send over here. And the situation's only getting worse. We have a full uprising going on in the south. The Brits have moved out of two out of three of their bases there. The one base they have left is being mortared every single night. They're on tab to have one of the bloodiest months of their second occupation of Iraq as well. So the resistance is taking it to the occupation forces, and it looks like it's just increasing.
Yeah. And you mentioned Muqtada al-Sadr 2 days ago. He ordered six cabinet ministers who are affiliated with his party to either resign or just withdraw, at least temporarily, from the government. What do you think is going to happen next? The U.S. wants to see some sort of coalescing of the various factions in Iraq, and I consider that to be a crazy pipe dream. Particularly given that while Bush pretends that by ignoring the idea of timelines and timetables that will fool the enemy and they think that we could be there indefinitely, the U.S. has clearly signaled that you know, even with permanent bases, we don't plan to be in combat mode in Iraq forever. And they know that. It's not a secret. And so the gamesmanship being played on this side, is mostly for the consumption of the American people. But is there any hope that any of these dreams, even some of the proposals to partition Iraq and split the oil revenues, can lead to a reduction in the violence and an exit strategy for the U.S.?
Well, what needs to be made very clear for people in the U.S. who aren't following the situation in Iraq really closely is the fact that the U.S. really does not have control over anything that's going on in that country at this point. They can't even protect the green zone anymore, and I think we should expect for more attacks like that to occur, other attempts to blow up the bridges nearby the green zone to further isolate it to occur, and even this puppet government, this Vichy government that the U.S. has set up in Iraq is coming apart at the seams. This past March, the Fadila Party, another Shia party, withdrew, looking more towards other nationalistic unity groups and Sunni groups for a real unity government, and they're signaling to make that move as well. And now the Sadr bloc is ordered to withdraw. It's really coming apart at the seams to where all we have left is a government of U.S. stooges that are basically in the government to loot what they can get out of that country. We have Kurdish representatives with their own agenda for an independent Kurdistan and their own oil base. We have Shia representatives trying to do the same for the south. We have others remaining loyal to the U.S. for the production sharing agreements and the hydrocarbon law to get passed. So that's basically all that's left. And when you have a government like that, that is not respecting the will of the Iraqi people, over 85% of whom now are in favor of an immediate withdrawal of all occupation forces, that government's just not going to last. We're watching it come apart at the seams before our very eyes, and it's important to note that this billion-dollar U.S. embassy right in the middle of the green zone has two helipads on it, similar to the embassy in Saigon,
yeah.
And we all know what that photo looked like.
Yeah, we sure do. Got about a minute remaining. Dar, what would you like to mention that I haven't asked you about?
Well, another thing to keep an eye on, that I've just hit the ground here in Beirut. I am going to be reporting on the political situation here, but there is an ongoing sit-in of both Hezbollah, Shia, and members of a Christian party that have surrounded the government building here, are demanding as opposition for a new election. So we basically have a political gridlock here in a situation that's very, very unstable and likely to become more so as time goes on. So Lebanon is another another, of course, very important part of the puzzle in the Middle East as it continues to heat up.
And the more we try to prop up Señora, does that make him more vulnerable in his own domestic situation?
Without a doubt. If you're a politician in the Middle East, the sure kiss of death is to say that you are U.S. backed.
Dar, thank you very much. Thanks for staying up to talk with us, and we'll check back with you in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
Read his website, darjamailiraq.com. What a guy. Coming up next, Mike Lux joins us. In next hour, too, we'll talk about the retro Supreme Court decision on abortion today.
Of international use, the American medical profession is finally realizing the great value of essential oils. That's why the FDA has reclassified them as new OTC drugs. You need to protect your right to use this sacred medicine. Native Health Sacred Copal is that protection. Essential oils delivered from a traditional Native American basis. Call 1-866-972-3461 and ask for information on protecting your sacred right to heal.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Virginia Tech shooter mailed a manifesto.
This may be a very new critical component of this investigation.
Abortion foes score big Supreme Court win.
It's good news that court has allowed a restriction.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Now we know what Sung-Hui Cho was doing in the two-plus hours between shootings at Virginia Tech. He went to the post office. Today, State Police Superintendent Steve Flaherty says NBC News in New York received a package in the mail.
Correspondence included multiple photographs, video, and writing.
CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadakis has more.
After the express mail package was discovered, authorities were able to quickly trace it back to the post office in Blacksburg, Virginia. It was time-stamped 9:01 a.m., in between the murders at the dorm and the classrooms. Investigators interviewed the clerk, who clearly remembered Cho Sung-hui, and that only one package was sent. It's a multimedia presentation, video of Joe delivering menacing warnings, and photos of him pointing two guns directly at the camera.
In a portion of a video aired by NBC, Cho is seated in the back seat of a vehicle talking as if his attack had already happened.
When the time came, I did it. I had to.
2 years ago, CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi reports Cho was taken to a mental hospital when an acquaintance on campus warned that he might be suicidal.
Officially, a Virginia court found Cho mentally ill and a danger to himself, based only on that tip from Cho's acquaintance. But a day later, a medical evaluation found his insight and judgment were normal, and he was approved for outpatient treatment. Since he went voluntarily, none of it showed up on Cho's background check. He was able to buy the two guns he needed to carry out the killings.
Now this.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And Work-Life Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
They were born in Antwerp, Belgium. She in 1884, he in 1885. They were married in 1905. They were passengers aboard the SS Zealand, which arrived at Ellis Island in 1912. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court has upheld the ban on certain late-term abortions.
Opponents call the controversial procedure partial birth abortion, just as Anthony Kennedy graphically describes it as killing a fetus inches from the completion of birth. This ruling won't affect the vast majority of abortions, but Ann Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League still sees thousands of lives being saved.
Certainly we saw with that horrible tragedy at Virginia Tech how valuable life is.
Abortion rights advocate Kate Michaelman at NARAL complains.
It threatens the fundamental dignity of women.
Calling the ruling shocking, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg says it's the first time since Roe v. Wade the court has restricted abortion with no exception to protect a woman's health. The rightward shift President Bush has sought, says CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The shift that many abortion rights supporters were concerned about, and now those fears have been confirmed.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Iraq's Prime Minister Maliki calls the perpetrators soldiers of Satan. Car bombs in Shiite neighborhoods of Baghdad claim nearly 200 lives, making this the bloodiest day since the start of the U.S. troop surge. At the White House, President Bush had a sit-down with congressional leaders.
The hour-long meeting produced a lot of talk, but no compromise on a war funding bill. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid appealed to the president to accept a timetable for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq.
We believe he must search his soul, his conscience, and find out what is the right thing for the American people.
But his Republican counterpart, Senator Mitch McConnell, made it clear that President Bush won't give in.
The president, obviously, as you already know, is not going to accept language that specifies a date for surrender.
So Democrats will send the president their bill, he'll veto it, and then it's back to square one. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
In Selmer, Tennessee, the wife of slain minister Matthew Winkler took the stand at her murder trial. Mary Winkler said her husband was physically and sexually abusive.
I was fat. Hair wasn't right.
She claims the gun went off accidentally. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Ooh. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This is how we do it.
Later this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we will rip into the Supreme Court decision issued today. And you may have missed it because of the excessive coverage of the Virginia Tech incident. But in a 5-4 vote with Justice Kennedy writing for the majority, they upheld the ban on late-term abortions. The right wing likes to call them partial birth abortions, but late term is the accurate terminology there. And later this hour, Amy Everett, who is the California director of NARAL Pro-Choice, will join us here on the program, and we'll talk about the elements of the decision and my belief that this is the beginning of the end of abortion rights in this country. I hope to be wrong about that, but I think that the right is on a roll on this one. And with the packing of the Supreme Court, it's going to be very hard to stop long term. Mike Lux joins us again today. He's with American Family Voices, Voices, not Choices. See what's on my mind? American Family Voices, based in Washington. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing great, except for all that's going on. It's been an awful week in so many different ways.
Indeed, it has. Yeah. And we, of course, have the tragic events at Virginia Tech, and now we have to suffer through the tabloid coverage and the finger pointing by the media. I don't know about you, but I can watch about 20 minutes of it, and I just have to turn it off or switch into a non-reality diversion.
I'm the same way. It's very depressing to watch all of this, and we have this tendency in this country when tragedy happens, rather than looking at more fundamental issues. People are scared of the more fundamental issues in the media, and so they get into this, finger pointing game about, who is at fault and all of that on the specific case. And it's just sad to watch and painful to watch.
Well, and I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, and I don't want to make a terribly broad generalization. But on this program, I've tried to avoid exploiting this tragic event. I've permitted people to call up and talk about it, but we have not gone out of our way to match the, minute-by-minute coverage of the networks and other radio outlets. But I also have a sense of respect for the people who lost loved ones and people who were injured and people who were traumatized, either on campus or anywhere, by the events and the reporting of them. And I have a sensitivity about that. I'm very willing to engage in the debate about gun laws and that sort of thing at the proper time. But I was floored yesterday, Mike. I had some time traveling in the car. And I held my nose and I turned on the new Dennis Miller right-wing talk show.
Yep.
And the first guest who popped up was Ted Nugent. And he was talking to Ted, who is, he's many things, but sensitive is a word that has never been used in an accusatory way against Ted Nugent. And he's a well-known gun nut and a hunter, and, he was starting the whole spiel about, well, I hope we don't end up with more of this crap about hardware. You know, he's just a crazy man who killed a lot of people, but, we don't want to get into this debate about hardware. And Dennis Miller was just sucking up to him and letting him spiel, and it was so insensitive and inappropriate, particularly in terms of its timing.
Well, that's the thing is I don't know of very many folks. I certainly haven't heard very many folks who are trying to exploit this issue. I think everybody, for the most part, has been very sensitive about the mourning. And one of the things that we have to do at times like this is to bring the country together, not further divided. But what bothers me is that when you have people like Ted Nugent go on, or when you have, I saw a pro-gun blog the other day talking about that they were sure that liberals were dancing in the blood of these students, and, saying ridiculous things like that.
Yeah.
This was a tragedy. We should take time to mourn the tragedy. We should try to bring the country together the way Bill Clinton did after the Oklahoma City bombings and after other tragic events that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just take some time to try to comfort each other before we get into all of this all of this other stuff. So
yeah. Well, and Bush was lamely trying to emulate Bill Clinton yesterday when he went to the memorial service and got his photo op at Virginia Tech. And he probably doesn't think of the real import of his words. But if you apply what he said about how, you can't explain this and these were wonderful people who were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Rabbi Arthur Waskow came on our program yesterday, and having heard the president's remarks, he said, would he ever think to apply that to Iraqis?
Yeah.
And, of course, he doesn't appear to have that kind of consciousness and, seems fully capable of remaining oblivious to, the real world and the immoral killings that he is ultimately responsible for in Iraq and elsewhere.
Well, yeah, and again, that's the sad thing, is that this kind of thing happens every day in Iraq. In fact, if you make a comparison about the population there versus the population here, it happens many times a day in Iraq comparatively. And you know, we should have we should take time to mourn this horrible loss, but we should understand that other people around the world, including right now, especially Iraq, are going through something just as bad. We're not the only country that is suffering from this kind of violence, and it's you know, we need to remember that. And
well, you, Mike, you keep up a line of thinking like that, and they'll reserve a space for you at Gitmo.
I think they already have. I've been worried about that for some time, actually.
Yeah, well, make sure you get an ocean view. I wanted to turn to the meeting at the White House today. I didn't expect much, but Pelosi and Reid got to sit down with the president right between them at the conference table there.
Yep. Well, and you know, the thing I liked about today in terms of Pelosi and Reid's meeting, before they went over and met with the president, before they did the fancy meeting at the White House, they sat down with some families of you know, of men who had died in Iraq, of soldiers who had died in Iraq, and they took the time to meet with those folks before they went to see the president, so that they could really get a measure of what this is doing to American families. And I was really proud of Reid and Pelosi for doing that. I think that's the focus. We need to focus on what we're losing. We need to focus on what we're doing to Americans and to Iraqis when we have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, this meeting was obviously a political dance, a political exercise. You know, George Bush doesn't want to listen to anybody and doesn't think he has to. He thinks that he can bully his way through to get whatever he wants. I think Reid and Pelosi need to keep doing what they've done so far, which is keep the pressure on, not back down, and force him to come to the table to negotiate. I think there's all kinds of things that we can do, even if he vetoes that bill, which it looks like he's going to do. I think there's all kinds of things that we can do to force change in Iraq, and I think we should just keep at it. And you know, force him to come to the table.
Well, Mike, I'm a little more to the left, and while I appreciate the efforts that are underway, and I have deep respect that this is the first time that the Congress has been able to assert itself in any way in opposition to the president's policies on Iraq, I think ultimately this whole stroke will prove to be ineffective, and that the dare that is being presented by Lindsey Graham and other Republicans is one that the Democrats will ultimately have to embrace, and that is they've got the power of the purse, and they've got to cut off funding. That's the only way to impact this president's policies, and I think ultimately they will be forced into that, but they're trying this other method first, and I understand that. It's a very difficult and delicate political dance. And the president, in many respects, has the rhetorical upper hand. As we have seen, just last week, he said, those damn Democrats, you know, if they keep this up, we're going to have to keep troops longer in Iraq, and they won't be able to come home to their families. And then the next day, without, of course, any response, you know, from the Democrats in the president's direction, his Secretary of Defense undercut him and said, we're now imposing the 15-month year for tours of duty in Iraq.
Well, you know, I think that this is a long and complicated story. We aren't going to be able to impose anything by fiat because the president is still the president. But you're right; we do have the power of the purse. We also have. I would actually argue with you on this, though, for a minute. I think there's other things. Other kinds of powers that we have in terms of Iraq that we can and should be taking advantage of.
Well, Mike, I want to hear your arguments, but I'm up against a break here, so think about it. We'll come back in 4 minutes, and we'll listen to those.
Right.
Mike Lux is our guest. American Family Voices is his organization. And if you have a question or comment, you can join us now, toll-free, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the latest, and gotta be honest with you, you want the truth? Well, I hope you can handle the truth. Sorry, a line from A Few Good Men. I'm talking about traffic, really, folks. There's not much to go on. Monterey, Salinas, or Santa Cruz, no problems to report, and that is the whole truth, but nothing but the truth. And Santa Cruz, I'm just going to tell you about a little road work that you folks need to know about. Northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day for road work scheduled to continue through the 31st of December. By the way, Highway 17, we got no problems to talk about there. Quick reminder that in, well, let's go on over to Watsonville, 152 eastbound between 1 and Beach Street. Road construction and maintenance has the two left lanes closed 24 hours a day until further notice. Support brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department's Toyota dealer owners. See your Genuine Toyota Service Centers for convenience, value of an Express Lube Plus, oil and filter and tire rotation all in under an hour.
Which makes us irresistible. I'm Peter B. Collins, your humble host. We're talking with Mike Lux. Coming up in a few minutes, Amy Everett will join us to talk about the retrograde Supreme Court decision on abortion rights. That's ahead in about 10 minutes. Mike Lux, before the break, you had said you had a couple of points of disagreement. I welcome them and happy to hear them. So the points you wanted to make, go right ahead.
Well, listen, here's my thinking on this. I think that there are all kinds of things that we can do to start forcing Bush to move the troops out of Iraq. I think MRSA, for example, has some great ideas that are very basic, like making sure that every single battalion that goes out over there, every single soldier that goes over there, is well-trained and well-rested and well-equipped before they go. That's not happening right now. And, in fact, the Army is stretched so thin that if you put a provision like that in the bill, it will force Bush to start withdrawing people from Iraq. So I think we need to be creative about pushing him. And I don't disagree that ultimately we may have to use the power of the purse. But I think in the meantime, we need to push back on him on all different levels. We need to tie his hands in every different kind of way we can and force him to start taking action.
The game of chicken that I see right now, Mike, is that both sides are hoping to taint the other one as not supporting the troops. Now, just with the extension to 15 months, to me, that should send a very loud message to the American people that Bush isn't supporting the troops. He's using them in a ruthless and irresponsible manner. But there is this chicken game going on, and we heard Congressman McNerney join us last week and say, yeah, you know, if the president vetoes this, then he'll be the one who didn't support the troops. But that doesn't really achieve much, in my view, in the long run.
Well, again, you know, you can't take the politics out of politics. And this kind of political dance is going to have to go on, in part, frankly, Peter. I mean, Democrats don't have the votes to just pull the funding right now. You know, there are a lot of more conservative Democrats who aren't willing to do that. So we've got to come up with ways to continually ratchet up the pressure, ratchet up the political pressure, ratchet up the budget pressure, ratchet up the support among the American people. And so far, it's very much working in terms of how the American public is viewing this. We are absolutely kicking Bush's butt in the polls in terms of our handling, you know, Democrats' handling of Iraq versus Bush's handling of Iraq. We're beating him overwhelmingly, 60-40, 65-35. And if we continue to push it and be aggressive on it, we are going to place the Republicans in such an uncomfortable position that they're going to start to withdraw their support of this war, and then, you know, we will be able to do whatever we want to.
All right, I hope you're right. Let's take a call. Jake's on the line from Arcata. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Peter B. Well, first, I'd just like to say that I am a bit concerned that some of our so-called leaders in the Democratic Party may be trying to milk the situation for political advantage in the election next year instead of trying to do what the public wants, 70% of the public, and that's to end this war now. I know to have it drag out, to beat Bush up, you know, for the next year, you know, may help elect the Democratic president, but it's not going to keep soldiers from getting killed in Iraq. And I'd just like to say this situation where Bush has extended the tours of duty over there for 12 mm-hmm. months to 15 months,
yeah.
How come the Democrats can't come out and try to stop it, at least make the attempt? Because those people, they did not sign up for that extra 3 months. I mean, that's like a backdoor draft.
Well, I think that's a good point. And, Mike, isn't that one of the ways that Democrats could tie the hands of the president?
Yes, absolutely. I think you're right. I think Democrats can try to stop that. I think they should try to stop it. And, in fact, I think they are. They're pushing back very hard on him right now. In this meeting that was held, there are sources coming out of the meeting that basically said, you know, Reid absolutely stood up to the president and said, no matter what you say about us, we're gonna keep ratcheting up the pressure on you. We're not backing down on this thing. So I think the Democrats are willing to do that, and I worry too about folks politicizing things, but you also have to look at the situation as we have it, which is right now we don't have the votes to just cut off the funding. And even if we had the votes, Bush would veto a measure to cut off the funding.
Jake, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Political strategies that aggressively make this case with the American public.
Mike, just about a minute remaining. I wanted to shift to one other important issue. In the Senate today, Republicans in a 55-42 procedural vote blocked the effort by Democrats to make the Medicare prescription drug bill include a clause that would permit the government to negotiate with the drug companies for lower prices. And this is an amazing setback, and it's part of the ugly legacy of the way the Republicans rammed through the Medicare bill to begin with.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, the Republicans have no justification on this. You know, they say, oh, the market is working, the market is working. Well, the market's not working to bring down the prices. The prices are skyrocketing. I'm a diabetic, and I see it every time I go to the drugstore. The prices keep going up. And so for them to say the market is working is absolutely not right.
Well, and of course, if they really allowed for this competitive negotiation, it would be market forces at work. This
That's
is the
exactly
Republicans
right.
making sure that market techniques are not used to benefit consumers.
That's exactly right. If you're negotiating on behalf of 50 million customers, which is what we would be doing, you can drive the price down. And that's what the drug companies want to stop. The Republicans are carrying their water in this filibuster.
Mike Lux, thanks for joining us today. We'll catch you soon.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate it. Mike Lux from American Family Voices. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Supreme Court decision upholding a ban on late-term abortions. This is an important setback. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Which group to blame? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Now we know that Cho Sung-hee bought his guns legally, and both transactions were properly documented, just as the founders intended. No gun show loophole, nothing shady. Bad news for the fundraisers on both sides of the gun debate. Virginia Senator Jim Webb and Senate Leader Harry Reid are both pro-gun Democrats with no interest in reopening the issue. And if what happened to Virginia Tech doesn't reopen the debate, let's face it, the debate's over. Until maybe a terrorist figures out how easy it is. But thank God they're all still in Iraq, unable to follow us home as long as we stay there. In the meantime, it turns out that Cho Sung-hee was like a black hole, trying to be invisible but still sending out signals. Signals scary enough that most of his English class stayed home after hearing one of his poems. Today, we're into who bears the collective guilt for this, but whoever draws the short straw there, we know it's not going to be the gun seller. It isn't the gun seller's business to ask why a 23-year-old college student would want a gun or to inform the college that their gun-free campus is about to get a gun-owning student. The gun seller's job is to make sure the paperwork is in order so that whatever happens next is not his fault. If Cho Sung-hee had been trying to get a prescription drug without a doctor's permission, a pharmacist could have turned him away. If Homeland Security had seen his English papers, the TSA would definitely have turned him away. But all he wanted was a couple of guns. And in our society, if you misuse a firearm, well, we just accept that sometimes the Constitution can cause collateral damage, too. Now this.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, wiper blades are 25% off.
I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
Sale ends April 28th.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Never thought I'd wax nostalgic for the good old days when Sandra Day O'Connor was on the U.S. Supreme Court. And in case you missed it because of the excessive coverage of the Virginia Tech shootings, the Supreme Court issued a ruling today 5-4, upholding a law that bans late-term abortion in Nebraska. And in my view, this is part of the Christian right and Republican right's efforts to ultimately ban a woman's right to choose abortion in this country. And I'm angry at members of the Supreme Court for this ruling, but I'm equally upset at the role of Democratic senators in the confirmation hearings of Chief Justice Roberts and the most recent appointee to the court, Samuel Alito. In both cases, these men said that they honored precedent and would not lightly overturn a precedent like the Casey precedent related to abortion rights. And they seem to have no trouble moving in that very direction, as evidenced by the decision released today, penned by Justice Kennedy. And that's another disappointment to those of us who speculated that he might actually adopt the role that Sandra Day O'Connor had taken in the Rehnquist Court on issues particularly related to abortion rights. Joining us to offer some commentary and analysis is Amy Everett. She is California State Director of NARAL Pro-Choice, and that is a chapter of NARAL Pro-Choice America. She used to be the political director at EdVoice, and I'm looking at your resume here, Amy. You also did some work on the campaign for Kathleen Sebelius in Kansas.
Yes, I did, a pro-choice governor in the state of Kansas.
Well, and I actually have an indirect connection to her. Her father, Jack Gilligan, was mm-hmm. the governor of Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and he and my dad were classmates in high school way back in somewhere in the last century. And I also note that you got your undergrad degree at UC Santa Cruz, and we are broadcasting within range of all those slugs today.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Well, tell me your own thoughts about this ruling today from the United States Supreme Court.
Well, you know, Peter, it really just drives home that this Supreme Court decision is a reminder that elections really matter. An anti-choice Congress and an anti-choice president used the political process to push this ban all the way through to the Supreme Court, and we need to elect members of Congress and a president who's going to stand up for and not attack our fundamental values of freedom and privacy.
Well, what I'm hearing there is you didn't buy into Ralph Nader's claims in 2000 and 2004 that there isn't a dime's bit of difference between the parties.
Well, you know, both parties have minorities and majorities. The fact of the matter is that the majority of Americans are pro-choice and believe in the fundamental right to choose, and we all believe in personal freedom and responsibility and privacy. And it's a travesty that a minority viewpoint has taken control of the majority and has made this decision. Politicians have now made a decision for every woman in the country, including California, because this law trumps California law.
Tell me how that happens.
Well, a federal law upheld by the Supreme Court will trump a state law any day of the week. So although California has passed some of the most progressive pro-choice public policy in the entire country. We were leaders in codifying Roe. We were leaders in passing the first duty to dispense law so that pharmacists have to dispense birth control and emergency contraception. This particular law trumps our state laws in that now when women in California, as women in Georgia and Nebraska and everywhere else, when you're in your doctor's office making difficult decisions about a troubled pregnancy, politicians have joined you in that office and have said, here is a safe medical procedure that the American College of OBGYNs and every other medical professional has said is a safe option for you, and taken it off the table.
Mm-hmm.
What's worse, if it's possible, is that this decision also says that there doesn't need to be a health exception in any laws regarding abortion care and reproductive health. This is a complete departure from what has happened in the last 30 years. A woman's health has always been a core principle of Roe, and it has been upheld in every court decision that has come down in the last 30 years. And as you said in your opening, this new court where Samuel Alito has replaced Sandra Day O'Connor, they don't seem to put a woman's health as an important factor in decision making.
And the issue here relates to the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003. They should have thrown it out just based on the phony name to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Partial birth abortion is the right-wing code word for late-term abortions.
Well, abortion ban is really what it is.
It is. That's
yes.
right.
They're banning certain types of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. There is no medical term partial birth. Late term is vague, and indeed, you know, there is analysis happening right now about what that actually means.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't necessarily, I mean, when you think late term, you think third trimester, but this can impact the second trimester as well.
We're talking with Amy Everett, and she is the state director of NARAL Pro-Choice California. We're here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm looking at the summary of the Supreme Court ruling that was published today, and it says held, which means that this is the opinion of the majority. Respondents have not demonstrated that the act, as a facial matter, is void for vagueness, or that it imposes an undue burden on a woman's right to abortion based on its overbreadth or lack of a health exception. And they simply blow right past the Casey precedent. And this is the critical part in my criticism of Alito and Roberts and the senators who voted to confirm them, including many who claim that they are passionately pro-choice. That they just kind of breezily bypassed this, and later on in the summary decision here, they basically just say, well, you know, you can't really prove that a woman's health is at risk. They also talk about different types of D&E, dilation and evacuation, and suggest that some might be illegal and some might not. And I'm not an attorney or an expert on this area of law, even as a layperson, but it appears to me that this decision will create more questions than it resolves.
I couldn't agree with you more. And while they breezed past all of that precedent and history, they also ignored the findings of six lower courts, each of whom, some are conservative, some are considered liberal, but every single one of them found this to be an unconstitutional law.
Quoting again, whether the act creates such risks related to a woman's health was, however, a contested factual question below. The evidence presented in the trial courts and before Congress, that's interesting, demonstrates both sides have medical support for their positions. Let me pause here because I just got stuck on that phrase, and before Congress. Now, the evidence presented before Congress could include a wide range of people, some who have limited expertise or whose expertise was selective based on the predisposition of the Republicans who controlled Congress in 2003 to pass this bill and make it a first step toward banning abortion altogether.
Well, you're exactly right, Peter. We have to remember that it wasn't the 110th Congress. It was the 109th Congress, and it, or actually the 108th, and it was a right-wing, anti-choice majority that passed this law, and when they held their hearings, they brought their own expert witnesses who, frankly, you know, don't have prominent or distinguished reputations or standing with the CMA or other you know, third-party objective medical organizations, all of whom oppose this ban.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading on here. The court's precedents instruct that the act, the law that they are upholding, can survive attack when this medical uncertainty persists. This traditional rule is consistent with Casey, which confirms both that the state has an interest in promoting respect for human life at all stages in the pregnancy, and that abortion doctors should be treated the same as other doctors. Now, I don't get that, and again, I'm missing a lot, you know, in terms of legal training and the details of these precedents, but this appears to me to be disingenuous.
Well, you're right. It doesn't take a law degree to read that this is a politically driven statement, that as Ruth Bader Ginsburg has said, you know, a decision of the character the court makes today should not have staying power. She said in her dissent, and thank goodness for her dissent, that the court's defense of it cannot be understood as anything other than an effort to chip away at a right declared again and again by the court.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just very clearly setting up for the anti-choice minority where they want to go. And with the election of George Bush and his appointments of Alito and Roberts, the anti-choice minority of this country is getting what they need and want.
Mm-hmm.
And at the expense of women's health.
I'm reading on here. The court rejects certain of the party's arguments. On the one hand, the Attorney General's contention that the act should be upheld based on congressional findings alone fails because some of the act's recitations are factually incorrect and some of the important findings have been superseded. That's very interesting for the majority to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Also unavailing, however, is respondents' contention that an abortion regulation must contain a health exception if substantial medical authority supports the proposition that banning a particular procedure could endanger women's health. Interpreting Stenberg as leaving no margin for legislative error in the face of medical uncertainty is too exacting a standard. Now, I take exactly the opposite point of view, that if you cannot arrive at a standard, then this law should be overturned.
Well, and furthermore, if Congress, full of, you know, people who don't have medical backgrounds or histories, can't come up with something, maybe those decisions are best left to doctors and their patients without politicians interfering.
Ah, but it says marginal safety considerations, including the balance of risks, are within the legislative competence. Whereas here, the regulation is rational and pursues legitimate ends, and standard safe medical options are available. Now, what's missing here from this tortured legal language is any reference to pain, suffering, and the loss of the ability to have another baby on the part of a woman who is denied such a procedure.
You're exactly right. I mean, women are having babies later and later and are finding out more and more earlier. But, you know, I mean, in order, an amnio, you can't have that until the 14th week to be safe. And you find these things out. And those women who have wanted pregnancies that have gotten difficult or have complications, their choices, politicians have just taken away safe alternative choices to protect their health and to protect their future ability to have children.
This is really astounding because, again, this court is permitting the Congress, not a doctor and a patient, not a group of doctors advising a patient, to set standards and procedures and essentially, you know, put doctors at risk for violating a statute that could lead to a criminal conviction if they make the wrong decision as determined by Congress and presumably the courts, but not by medical professionals.
Right. And you have to ask yourself, what would be next? What's next on the docket for Congress to declare that they have a right to be involved with? I mean, the same politicians who were behind this abortion ban were the same people who blocked stem cell research and interfered in the Terri Schiavo case.
Yeah. We've got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about this Supreme Court decision today, call us right now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My guest is Amy Everett, State Director in California of NARAL Pro-Choice. We'll continue in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Alrighty, let's take a look at traffic and give you the latest. We're going to start off with a problem in Santa Cruz, Graham Hill Road, Westwood at Westwood Road. We do have reports of a problem working there. And let's see, this is a three-vehicle crash. It's everything off to the right shoulder. So CHP, however, is on scene. Also want to take a look at Salinas. Looks like 183 at Davis. We have an accident reported. It's on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. Santa Clara County, we have 152 eastbound at Casa de Fruto. An injury crash there. Five vehicles blocking the left lane. American Express is offering exclusive travel packages to nine sought after destinations like Florence, with prices dropping all day. Get yours before it's gone on MyLifeMyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A very disappointing decision. Not really a surprise, but a setback for those of us who believe in a woman's right to choose. Delivered by the Supreme Court today in a 5-4 decision relating to the federal so-called partial birth abortion ban, the act of 2003. We continue discussing this with Amy Everett, State Director of NARAL Pro-Choice California. And Amy, I'd like to take us through the final paragraph here, and this is the summary of the decision that was authored by Justice Kennedy today. It reads, these facial attacks, the attacks on the law, should not have been entertained in the first instance. Now, that is a sweeping dismissal of all the lower courts that you referenced a few minutes ago, isn't it?
It is, and it's one of the more outrageous. I mean, this is, as you pointed out, Roberts and Alito and others in their hearing said they had respect for precedent, stare decisis. And this clearly, this decision, and the way it's written, clearly just throws that all out the door. And one wonders what has happened to precedent with George Bush's Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it goes on. In these circumstances, the proper means to consider exceptions is by as-applied challenge. Now, what does that mean?
Well, I'm not an attorney, but it sounds like they're asking for a lot more court cases.
Yeah. But if a woman is pregnant and is in a second or even third trimester,
and needs to undergo an abortion for her health or her, well, they say the exception of life is in effect, so that they claim is not an issue.
Okay.
But if it's for her health and her ability to have children in the future, she's supposed to go to a federal court?
It does sound that way, and this case or this decision is the most outrageous assault on respect for women, on the understanding that women make decisions with their families and their doctors that are best for them, and it puts every woman who wants to have a family in an exceedingly awkward and difficult situation.
And again, referring to this term as applied challenge, it goes on, this is the proper manner to protect the woman's health if it can be shown that in discrete and well-defined instances, a condition has or is likely to occur in which the procedure prohibited by the act must be used. Now, this is so ridiculous. You cannot, imagine that a woman in that kind of a health predicament has the time, the resources, or, even the interest in going to a judge and saying, would you please let me make an exception to the Partial Birth Abortion Act of 2003?
You're right. You're exactly right. It's rolling the clock back to the time when women had to go before hospital boards and plead mental ineptitude in order to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the final sentence. No as-applied challenge need be brought if the act's prohibition threatens a woman's life because the act already contains a life exception. Now, what about that gray area between the interest of the health of the woman? That's subjective, understandably, and no doctor can say, assure a woman that she'd be able to get pregnant in the future. And so this is a very murky gray zone between the issues that amount to a threat to the woman's health and the issues that amount to a threat to her life.
And it comes into that murky area where doctors will have to make their own difficult decisions trying to interpret this vague and difficult law to determine, where they're crossing a criminal line. This is the first time in the history of the United States that a medical procedure has been outlawed by Congress.
Yeah. It is so shameful. This is just, words fail me. Let's take a call. Laird in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Peter. I don't even know where to start with this one. I mean, so much for the Republican cry about activist judges.
Thank you. That's a very good point.
Good point.
But I just can't get over how can people think how can you legislate morality or vote on civil rights?
Well, the people need to start realizing that how they vote in elections is going to have a direct impact on their lives, just like this case did. I mean, for instance, John Doolittle has voted for this abortion ban every single year that it has come up.
He's the congressman in District 2, North State on the eastern side.
In District 4, actually.
Oh, 4, thank you.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, and polls after polls show that the people in that district would prefer somebody who believes in common-sense solution to preventing unintended pregnancy, which he refuses to fund. Why do we elect him for, the 20th time?
Yeah. Laird, I think you may have more to say on this, but can I ask you to call back or just hold on into the next segment because
sure,
there are a couple
problem.
Of other issues I want to cover with Amy, and then I'll be happy to hear your other comments.
Sure, no problem.
Great. Well, just hold on, and we'll keep you there. And if you'd like to comment, there's plenty of room next hour in the free speech zone, and I'd love to hear other opinions on this, too. Amy, just about 2 minutes remaining here. This is the end of the line on this particular piece of legislation. As I understand it, the only way to change this is an outright repeal of this law. Is that correct?
That is definitely one route. There is another route, which is what we're going to pursue, which is passing the Freedom of Choice Act, which is a law that would then trump this act.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a legislative parlor game, but it's one we're pursuing very actively. There's going to be a rally tomorrow in San Francisco. There's going to be a rally at Sierra College in Rocklin on Saturday. you know, one thing that we need to indicate to our elected representatives is this is an unacceptable way of voting.
Mm-hmm.
And that when the Freedom of Choice Act comes up, we are expecting their vote to respect women, respect privacy, respect all of our values of privacy and freedom and responsibility. And if they don't vote for those values, we need to vote them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is a very difficult political climate. We've seen that last November, the Democrats, in order to try to win back control of one or both houses, accepted a lot of very conservative candidates, including Casey in Pennsylvania. I don't know what Senator Webb's position on choice is, but I don't think it's forward-thinking. And so it's going to be challenging to try to move forward in a progressive way, as you've described. I fully support it. I just recognize that politically it will be difficult.
It will be, but one of the things to remember is that, you know, while choice is a nonpartisan issue, in the state of California at least, you know, Republican elected officials tend to be anti-choice, almost to the T.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republican Party is all about respecting limited government and limited government intrusion on your personal life.
Amy, I've got to stop there. Thanks for joining us. I'm
Thank
Peter
you.
B. Collins.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's the back cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Virginia Tech shooter Sung Hui Cho left a message behind, a DVD recording of his final statement portraying himself as a martyr and apparently blaming society in general for the acts he was about to commit.
You had 100 billion chances and ways to have avoided today, but you decided to spill my blood. You forced me into a corner and gave me only one option. The decision was yours. Now you have blood on your hands that will never wash off.
NBC News aired portions of the message after receiving it in the mail today. The package also contained a long written statement and still photos of Cho striking menacing poses with his guns. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadaka has more.
Investigators trying to complete the timeline between the shootings were jolted by the revelation that Cho went to the post office in between the shootings. The express mail envelope, stamped 9:01 a.m., contained video, still photos of Cho with guns, and according to NBC News, a 23-page written statement. Just as Cho methodically concealed his identity at the crime scenes, he created a multimedia display to reveal to the world that he was the killer.
It also came out today that 2 years ago, Cho was reprimanded by campus police for stalking two women. He had a brief stay in a mental hospital, and a court declared he was a danger to himself. Sweetmakes like Karan Grewal just found him weird.
If I said hi to him, he would just stare right through me as if I was there.
It's a victory for opponents of abortion. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, has upheld the 2003 Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
No matter which side of the debate you are on, this is a landmark ruling in the history of abortion law in this country. The court has endorsed a federal ban that criminalizes doctors who perform this procedure even when they believe the health of the woman involved is at risk. And the ruling, I think, opens the door to future restrictions on abortion rights as well.
With any further tipping of the court's balance, pro-choice activists fear Roe v. Wade will be overturned. No breakthrough today in a White House meeting between President Bush and congressional leaders. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says they did not resolve the stalemate over an Iraq funding bill.
We're not prepared to negotiate today. I think we all realize that
Most important thing that could happen in the next week or so is to get the bill down to him. It's going to be vetoed. And then we'll have to get serious about providing money for the troops without a withdrawal date.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says there's a general understanding that ultimately the troops will get the funding that they need.
We cannot give the president a blank check, but we are willing to work with him to come to agreement.
This was the most violent day in Baghdad since the U.S. troop surge started 9 weeks ago. Nearly 200 people were killed in a series of car bombings in Shiite areas of the capital. On Wall Street, the Dow up 30 points to close at a new high, 12,803. The Nasdaq lost 6 points. This is CBS News.
Never miss your favorite shows with a free DVR upgrade from Dish Network. Introducing Dish DVR Advantage. The two-room DVR comes standard. Plus, get over 200 channels, free standard professional installation, and 3 free months of HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, or Starz Movie Pack. All for just $39.99 a month for 10 months. Call 1-888-499-DISH today. Offer ends 5/31/07. Subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee, 18-month commitment, and credit card auto pay with online billing. 10-month discount requires mail-in redemption. Restrictions apply, including early cancellation fee.
You've got Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind.
Let's go Outback tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday Mixed Grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go Outback tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday Mixed Grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Virginia Tech tragedy has school officials across the country thinking about better ways to communicate in an emergency. Mark Abrams of KYW Radio in Philadelphia reports on a system being developed at Drexel University.
Ben Galati, Vice President of Public Safety, says if software tests are successful, students and staff will be invited to subscribe for free to receive bulletins on their cell phones or other devices. He says they'll also be encouraged to share any information with security by sending text messages to the operations center.
The key to our success is having people help us help them. So the more information we can gather for our students, faculty, and staff, the better we can prepare to protect them.
He says the tests were scheduled well before the Virginia Tech shootings, but he agrees a text message network could save lives. Mark Abrams, CBS News, Philadelphia.
She got national attention when her team went to the NCAA final, then even more attention in the Don Imus flap. Now Rutgers women's basketball coach Vivian Stringer has a book deal. She's been signed by Crown Books. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And WorkLife Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
They were born in Antwerp, Belgium. She in 1884, he in 1885. They were married in 1905. They were passengers aboard the SS Zealand, which arrived at Ellis Island in 1912. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Kind of down in the mouth here in Peter B.'s America today. I'm deeply disappointed by this Supreme Court decision. And this is a legacy we will have to live with. And women who wish to choose an abortion will have to live with a child in many cases. And I blame the United States Supreme Court. I blame Bush for packing the court and senators for confirming some Neanderthals.
Revolution never come with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Bring the alarm, we come to wake up. the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three pieces and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. Commercial for a pop and pill culture. Drugs companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire.
That's Michael Fronte and Spearhead. Today's Supreme Court decision was a 5-4 ruling. And this is what the Neanderthal Republicans, Christian conservatives have been hoping for. Justice Kennedy voted with the majority. And he was seen as the swing vote who might play the role that Sandra Day O'Connor had in the past. But no, sir. He was joined by Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas, and the most recent appointee to the Supreme Court, the man who has swung the balance against a woman's right to choose, Samuel Alito. And these people are performing exactly the way Bush expected them to, particularly his nominees, Roberts and Scalia, and his daddy's boys. I meant Roberts and Alito, and his daddy's boys, Thomas and Scalia. And I haven't had time yet to read the dissent of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but according to our guest in the preceding segment, Amy Everett, it was very powerful. And let's just take a quick look at the senators who voted for Samuel Alito's confirmation, because I believe that they bear full responsibility for this decision today. The Democrats include Robert Byrd of West Virginia, whom I otherwise have great respect for, Kent Conrad of North Dakota, Tim Johnson, the man who's currently out disabled from the United States Senate, he's from South Dakota, and Ben Nelson of Nebraska. These are Democrats who voted to confirm Alito as a justice, and they didn't have to. Sure, he was going to get confirmed because the Republicans had a majority at the time. But 42 members of the Senate, and I believe they're all Democrats, had the courage to oppose the confirmation of San Alito. I'd also like to point out some Republicans who claim that they are pro-choice, who voted to confirm San Alito. They are Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, Olympia Snow of Maine, Susan Collins of Maine. And I do believe this is a very dark day for personal rights, privacy rights, constitutional rights in this country. And as we discussed in some detail with Amy Everett, the terms of this decision blow right past the precedents. There were so much discussed in the hearings, the confirmation hearings of both Roberts and Alito. You probably never heard about stare decisis before these hearings. But both of them made comments that were taken to mean that they would only overturn a precedent like this with great trepidation. And there is no frickin' trepidation evident in this ruling. And they blow right past the issue of the health of a mother for whom a doctor recommends a late-term abortion. Now, nobody makes a decision like that lightly. A late-term abortion is not what, you know, a young girl does because her birth control failed. A late-term abortion is caused by very serious health problems or concerns confronting the mother or the baby. And nobody takes it lightly. Nobody revels in a decision like this that a woman and a doctor might make to end a pregnancy very late in the process. And to criminalize such a decision to substitute the judgment of Republicans, for the most part, in Congress for the judgment of a doctor who is there with the information and with the patient and who knows the case intimately is just plain barbaric and un-American. And as I said earlier, I'm not shocked that the court ruled in this manner. I had held out hope that it wouldn't happen, or that it might take more cases and longer period of time to break down the previous majority in favor of a woman's right to choose, the previous majority that upheld the Casey precedence. And I don't know how the Democrats are going to respond. As I mentioned, the Democrats recruited a bunch of pro-life candidates last year. And I hope that Nancy Pelosi will find the courage that she has shown in the past to take real leadership on this issue. We know that Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, is not pro-choice. Will he offer leadership on the law that Amy talked about, which essentially, if it passed, would overrule or trump the so-called partial birth abortion ban of 2003? I'm quite dubious about that. So, that's my comment. I want to open up the phone lines here, 888-5-PETER-B. You can call about that subject or anything else in the news, and you know our rules here. Any topic, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Back to Laird, who's been kind enough to hold on. Thank you, Laird. What else did you want to add to your comments?
Well, one of the things, you're a lot sharper than I am, but I have to modify something that you said a few minutes ago.
Go ahead.
This is not going to necessarily result in more unwanted children, but it will result in more deaths. Ironically, among the well-to-do, because history has shown they're the ones that take advantage of the illegal abortion thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I won't quibble with you there, Laird. I think you make a good point.
In that sense, right.
Mm-hmm.
But to come back to the original thing, it strikes me that this is really about morality. It's about trying to legislate against sexual mores. I mean, what's the purpose of abortion? It's about procreation. And, of course, procreation is only for God's purpose. If you understand me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're really arguing about here. And I have no more desire to be in anybody's bedroom like Ron or Nancy or Laura or George. You know, I could care less what goes on there. That's not my business. I mean, I know I'm stretching a point here, but that's really what it comes down to is.
Well, you're right. And, you know, it's not appropriate for me to impose my moral code on you. And it's not appropriate for these conservative Republicans whose real goal is to lead up to a full ban on abortion rights in this country. It is not appropriate or constitutional, in my view, for them to impose their moral code on the rest of us.
You know, it struck me today, thinking about this shooting thing, that we will now begin to the whole procedure with guns and who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah.
And this really is not about guns. It's about mental health.
I think it's about both.
Well, okay, but you never talk, well, not you specifically. We don't talk about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we want to put it on, either put the guns in. Somebody on the show one of the shows yesterday was talking about he's carried a gun for 45 years and never had to pull it out. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's not right in the head. You know, he's carried a gun for no reason for 45 years. I mean, but the thing is, I'm just getting lost in it now. Thank you.
All right, Laird.
Thank you.
I appreciate your passion, and your best line was about the activist judges. They've done it again. More of your calls next. There's one line open, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Our website is a place where you can listen to archive programs and catch the daily stream live in case you're out of range of one of our fine affiliate radio stations. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Come to Carmel's Spring Wellness Fair, Saturday, April 21st from 11 to 6. Experience demonstrations and receive information and guidance from experts in aromatherapy, massage, nutrition, acupuncture, yoga, and palmistry. Co-sponsored by the Yoga Center of Carmel, Pilgrim's Way Books, and The Secret Garden. At the Wellness Fair, you'll broaden your awareness of and connection to your body, mind, and spirit. Saturday, April 21st, come to the fair at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore on Dolores between 5th and 6th in Carmel by the Sea.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at traffic and give you the latest, or good evening, I should say. We're going to start off in Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound at Casa de Fruta. Injury crash, five vehicles, left lane blocked. Traffic is heavily backed up approaching the scene. Monterey, southbound 1 just after Highway 68, a two-car crash on the shoulder. Salinas, 183 at Davis Road. We have an accident. It's on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. And in Santa Cruz on Graham Hill Road at Westwood Road, we have a fender bender. It's on the shoulder. CHP is on the scene still, and three vehicles involved in this particular crash. A report brought to you by Shell Fuels. Low-quality gasolines can gunk to form inside your engine. Shell gasoline, stop the gunky buildup. Shell, made to move. That's a look at traffic here on AM 540 KRXA.
We continue now in the Free Speech Zone. I'm your humble host, Peter B. They named the show after me. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. All our lines are taken right now, but when we end a call, you can dial in and share your comments at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thomas in Oregon, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
Call me Peter, please.
Peter.
Yep.
All right. I have a question. Do you know, are the figures known for the actual numbers of third trimester abortions?
They're very low. I believe back in 2003, when they were arguing over the legislation, that the numbers were somewhere in the low thousand nationally, like between 1,000 and 1,500 per year.
I see.
That's what I recall.
All right. I've been enjoying your show and for the last year or so, and listening today, and I was just wondering, there's a lot going on in the world right now, and trying to put this particular argument into perspective, and just wondering if you think it's an argument of numbers or an argument of philosophy.
Well, I don't even think it's a matter of philosophy. I think that this is the strategy and the first step that anti-abortion forces have designed to try to eventually roll back and, if they're successful, eliminate completely the right to an abortion in the United States. And they came up with this strategy, and it was complete with Frank Luntz-type messaging research where they locked in on this phrase, partial birth abortion. It says on my screen that you're a doctor. You know that that's a meaningless term. And yet it was very effective, and, you know, they used photographs and descriptions and depictions of what admittedly is a grisly procedure. But it's only used under very rare and extreme circumstances, yet it was seized upon as if it is the garden variety abortion that occurs, you know, on a regular basis, on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you that some of my relatives talk about it as though it's a regular occurrence. And I'm kind of a mind that emotion isn't unlimited and intellectual power isn't unlimited, and one wants to keep their powder dry and save for arguments for days for things that are important. And I was just looking for your opinion on how important this is. It just seems like the numbers are so low.
Right. They have highly exaggerated the frequency that this occurs with. They have created a kind of dramatic confrontation that isn't occurring in the real world. And the most important and draconian step is that they have criminalized a decision that a doctor should be able to make on his or her own without looking over that shoulder and expecting the government to present a warrant should you decide in the wrong direction.
Well, I agree. But the numbers cut both ways. On either side of that argument, are they big enough to focus on, and are there not maybe more important issues?
Well, what I would suggest is that this is as representative of problems in America today as the legislation for Terri Schiavo was. This is very selective on the part of a very extreme group of politicos, and it is part, as I say, of a much larger strategy. Thanks for your call,
well,
Thomas.
Can I just make one other comment?
Please, go ahead.
If they can work this into some greater scheme, then I'm totally on your side, and I agree. But my guess is that reason is going to kind of prevail, and that the numbers just aren't going to dictate more changes in the direction that you're suggesting.
Well, Thomas, I will respectfully disagree, because with the court packing,
abortions are so great, the demand is that I think that's going to prevail.
Well, I'm sorry. The people who avail themselves of abortions are, in general, not political activists, and they're not adequately represented in the Congress and the legislatures.
I'd agree.
So thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. Now to Lisa in Eureka. Welcome. You're on the air.
You're close to Steve in Watsonville, but I'm sure Lisa will hold on.
No, Lisa dropped on your line. So, Steve, I've got you. Go ahead.
It happened.
Yep.
Now, I don't want to get away from the Supreme Court idiocy of today, but I'd like to address something that a previous caller said, something regarding the mental health versus gun control take on the Virginia Tech matter.
Yes.
It's my opinion that mental health is political correctness, insofar as political correctness is social politeness. It is taking the fundamental principle of wanting to treat others as you would want to be treated yourself. You know, it's just so simple. It's something that the IMISes and the stuff, when they come out with this, you know, like terminology that they use, they obviously just don't get it.
Okay, I don't quite see the connection there, Steve.
Well, what I mean is like, if I call you something, you know, some kind of slur name,
right?
If it's the kind of thing that there is anything in the world that you can send me a slur back, then my slur is racist and stupid, and it really shouldn't, absolutely shouldn't be allowed on the airwaves, and we should really try to expunge it from our national consciousness. You know, every effort in that direction is to the good, and that is the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and the so forth. They resent that. They resist it. That's why they're regressives instead of progressives.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is in terms of mental health is being a good Christian, loving your neighbor as you would want to expect, you know, to be loved yourself, and that means simple respect. In the United States, that means respect across racial lines. That's, you know, first and foremost, and then sex.
All right, Steve, thanks. Appreciate your call today. Not sure I get it all. We're going to take a break and continue with more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone. You can grab a line right now. I just cleared one. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, and our assistant producer is Brian Urban. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, no, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Please join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. for The Week in Politics with your host, Todd Hurlbert and T.C. Wraith. We'll cover presidential politics, see what's going on in Washington, D.C., and take a look at the local issues. And that taxi guy just might show up with an opinion or two. See you Monday at 10.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a line open if you'd like to join this conversation. First-time callers are always welcome. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number, and I look forward to chatting with you. Just one item before we go back to your calls. Last hour, Amy Everett mentioned John Doolittle, who is a very conservative congressman from California's 4th District up in the foothills and all the way, I think, to the Oregon border on the eastern side of California. And we just learned from truthout.org, and they picked this story up from The Hill in Washington. That's a Capitol Hill tip sheet. The FBI searched the Virginia home of John Doolittle last Friday in its investigation into ties between the congressman, his wife Julie, and disgraced former lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Yes, Abramoff, the guy who keeps on giving. The search took place 3 days before Doolittle's former chief of staff, Kevin Ring, abruptly resigned from his lobbying firm. Ring left Doolittle's office to work for Abramoff at the law firm Greenberg Traurig, and may have played a role in Abramoff's decision to hire Julie Doolittle's consulting firm. We also learned that Julie Doolittle collected a 15% commission on every dollar donated to her husband's campaign and political action committees. And since California is a community property state, many people construe that as an illegal diversion of funds from the political campaigns to the congressman's own pockets. So it'll be very interesting to see where this all goes. And Doolittle was almost unseated last November. He only won by 3 percentage points, and in previous elections, he had run up margins of 15% to 22%. So he's very vulnerable, and with the way that Jerry McNerney knocked off Pombo last year, maybe somebody will get active there in District 4 and take out Mr. Doolittle, or maybe an investigation will take him out before then. More of your calls now. We go to Lisa in Eureka. Thanks for calling, Lisa. You're on the air.
Thanks, Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I'm clearly disappointed by the Supreme Court decision and some of the other things going on.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, when you're on hold for a long time, you kind of lose your steam.
Yeah? you steamed out?
Yeah, well, I'm furious at the morality police. You know, they seem to go in full force when it's something that is actually beneficial for the American people, like, you know, not overriding doctors and what a medical person would seem or would deem to be an important procedure. And they get involved in things like Terri Schiavo and stuff like that, where they have absolutely no business.
Yeah.
But where it comes to where they really need to be moral and how easy it is to get things like guns with 15, you know, clips that you can just pop in and out like you know, you chew, like a piece of chewing gum.
Yeah.
They don't do it. And I'm tired of this. I'm just tired of it. You know, enough is enough. No woman stands in line or wakes up in the morning thinking, oh, I think I'll go out and get an abortion, no matter where they are in their pregnancy.
Yeah.
An abortion is something that is an extraordinarily difficult thing to do and psychologically tormenting to any woman.
Well, and the right's goal is to make it even more torturous.
Exactly.
You've heard,
I'm tired of this.
In some states now, they're trying to pass laws that would require a woman to get a sonogram and actually, you know, look at the fetus before she could be cleared for an abortion.
You do realize that most people who are pro-choice do not believe that life begins at conception. That most people who are pro-choice believe that life begins when it is a viable entity and can live on its own.
Well, and there's some people who put aside they put aside some of their moral beliefs. They may believe, according to religious or other codes, that abortion is wrong, but they also look at the relative morality of an abortion ban that leads women to desperate moves with coat hangers, back alley abortions, and other very risky methods that women have used over the years to terminate.
Don't you know that all that stuff is just propaganda by, you know, the people who are pro-choice? Don't you know that that's just a bunch of lies? That didn't happen.
Yeah, right. Well, and
you know,
the other thing is they're, you know, they're trying to claim that women who have abortions have a higher risk of cancer. And it's flatly false. There is no evidence to support that, and yet it is a canard that is frequently employed
by
pro-life.
Well, you know, most people who use guns can shoot themselves, too, but let's not go there.
Yeah. All right, Lisa. Well, you're steamy enough. I thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Now to Billy in Capitola. Hello, Billy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, another thing about hanging on for a while is that you start out with one idea, and then you hear all the callers, and you want to sort of respond to them and their pain, and or you can get lost in that.
Yeah, we'll pick three.
Okay, let's start with Laird real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But Laird is of course right. It's about the thing is that there's a way to help make this better. Imagine if there was a computer list where the mentally challenged people who run into somebody who they've been threatened by or something. Just like there's a do not fly list, there can be a do not buy list where if that person who somebody's ever said, I think he's dangerous, put it on the computer, goes to buy a gun, that he has to be talked to by a social worker first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are ways to solve this problem if we meant to.
Right. Yeah. And of course, what you're rubbing up against there is the clear determination of those who...
Most selfish people on earth you're about to tell me about.
Yeah, they're not interested in any dialogue or any compromise. They flatly believe that their guns protect them, and that's all that matters.
Hey, you know, if their guns were so hot, how come they didn't use them to... Well, never mind. So the next thing is the doctor with the numbers,
mm-hmm.
or this or that. And my message for everybody is, of course, the only numbers that count here is five... Five to four,
right.
Five Catholics, one Pope, you know, and the number infinity, because that's what a Catholic is looking at. If he doesn't vote against, allowing us to make choices for ourselves. The Pope was very clear about that. He was also very clear that hell is a real place. So, I'll make it bigger for the doctor. I don't trust this Supreme Court to do anything. When you look at what they're looking at, the threat that they face, how about those numbers?
Yeah. No, it is really frightening to me because I can see beyond this ruling and this issue.
Oh, exactly.
And
now
we see...
The patriarchy just killing women. I mean, what should be something between me and my wife is now between the Congress, the Supreme Court, the Pope. Oh, my God.
And we are stuck with Roberts and Alito for at least 30 years, if not longer.
Spineless Democrats.
Yep. And some unprincipled Republicans who claimed they were pro-choice.
Yeah.
I Sam Brownback, I don't agree with him, but I don't have any critical judgment of him because...
Yeah, you should. I'll tell you why.
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
He has been consistent in his opposition to abortion. And he's entitled to believe that and to feel that way.
But you know what you're entitled to? You're entitled to know what punishment that he thinks a woman and a doctor should suffer if they break the laws he'd like to see, and he won't tell us.
Right.
He's a rat.
Well,
you can't trust him.
No, you can't trust him.
They won't tell you the truth about anything, and that's the big thing with them, the stealth thing, you know. They don't tell you who they really are.
You have a good point there, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks for your call. Now to Hal in Oregon. Hal, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like the lady before, the last caller, I might have lost a little steam, but let me see if I can figure this out again. One of the things that is disappointing to me about the Democrats right now, other than what the one that a few of the points that you just made in their weakness to stop Alito and to stop a lot of the other people that have been put into place, and but about the gun issue, I think that that we, and I'm not a gun person, I really am not, but I think we should be careful to not get onto the rope-a-dope thing of, you know, about trying to regulate guns and regulate all that kind of stuff. We're actually on the other, you know, if we look at what the Second Amendment says, and I am worried in this way. I heard Mike Malloy talking one time, too, and I'm kind of like a real Mike Malloy fan because I'm very radical-minded and I really hate...
Those sons of bitches?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you can say that.
Well, see, Mike has the list of the angry language that you can use without drawing an FCC fine, and I can see he's got it right up on his computer screen in front of him.
But you know, did you happen to catch that thing on PBS last night, the Richard Poorel going around in Iraq?
Katrina told me about it. I have elected not to watch that because I think it would only make me mad.
Right. But you know, and this and a few other things that I've seen recently as far as what we're doing in Iraq, you know, we are creating a generation of our own kids and sons and daughters and brothers. Of policemen, you know, and, you know, I know that up here in Eugene a few years ago, and it seems like all around the nation, police departments have taken on a tax squad, kind of mentality, and I think that's what, you know, we are doing in Iraq, and we're training our kids to be policemen, and just as easily against them as against our own selves, And I'm, you know, the only, and like I said, I don't own guns and I don't even like them and I hate them. I hate the idea that we even need to have them. But I don't want the Democrats to get lost on one side of the fence and not be able to take care of the sort of business that they need to take care of to get this country back. And I just worry about that being a divisive issue.
Well, let me ask you this. In 2004, the assault weapons ban expired. President Bush said that if the Democrats could pass a bill, he would sign it. And, of course, the Republicans thwarted that effort. It couldn't get out of the Senate, and he never had to make good on that. This is one of the rare issues that I'm in full agreement with Senator Dianne Feinstein on.
But I also think that that's one of the issues, and being so far into that method of thinking is what turns over half of the people off to people like Feinstein. Now, I agree with you. I would love it if we could regulate that stuff, but like the old bumper sticker says, if you criminalize weapons, only criminals will have them. It doesn't stop the fact that they're all here, and I am more worried about the assault weapons and uranium laden vest that the army has, and you know, I mean, I don't know.
Hal, here's my point. I understand your citation there of the NRA bumper sticker, but my position is that we will never be able to eliminate guns from our society, and that there are constitutional arguments and practical issues that essentially prevent it. Okay, but.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that we can't have reasonable regulations about who can buy a gun. The shooter at Virginia Tech followed the law and bought his guns consistent with the proceedings. And as Billy pointed out, those proceedings don't even make any effort to identify mentally deranged people who choose to buy a weapon. That's something we could pursue. Bans on cheap guns and limitations on handguns and enforcement of people when people violate the concealed weapons laws. Those are all methods that we can use to try to rein in the problem. I also believe that an assault weapons ban would never eliminate assault weapons from our society. But for God's sake, who in their right mind could say that we want more assault weapons on the streets of the United States, and that, you know, this should be the unfettered right so that at a future date we could overthrow our government? Well, given what this administration has done to limit our rights, to detain and interrogate people outside the law, outside our Constitution, up to and including American citizens like Jose Padilla, I don't have a lot of confidence that holding on to our guns would give us any upper hand in overthrowing a ruthless government or an unconstitutional government in this country. So my bottom line is that we need to take reasonable, rational steps to control the number of guns in our society, particularly assault weapons.
I actually totally agree with you, except that the fact that we have gained this much ground by getting back the House and Senate. And you know, it just the first thing out of President Bush's mouth was when he heard about it, or at least as I remember it, on Monday afternoon when you know they always have to have the president, you know, having a voice in on something like that. And the first thing he said was that this has nothing to do with gun control or something. I forget what the quote was. Right?
All right, I got to run to a break, Hal. Great talking with you today. More calls coming up in just a moment. Grab a line, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Traffic on KRXA. I will try to take a look at some traffic now. We can tell you that Monterey, southbound 1 after 68, crashed at the right shoulder. Two cars involved. Santa Clara County, eastbound 152 at Cassidy Fruta. Five vehicle crash blocking the left lane. Traffic heavily backed up approaching the scene. That's traffic from KRXA.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. My friend Irene is celebrating her birthday, and tonight we're supposed to go to some karaoke place where they do an American Idol thing. I'm already embarrassed. Tomorrow is a big day in Washington. Alberto Gonzalez is going to do some susplaining before the Senate Judiciary Committee. We're going to be watching that very carefully, and we'll have reaction for you on the program tomorrow. Next up on the Free Speech Zone hotline, it's Chris and Salinas. Thanks for holding, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
Hey, I know you're a big supporter of Pete McCloskey, but it just seems that this is a perfect example of how the Democratic Party is being and is being pushed to the right. And more of these so-called Democrats or these blue dogs or these DLC, you know, these to me are Republicans in Democrat clothing, and they are moving this party to the right. And one example, just listening to the callers, is these justices. We have these justices because we have Democrats who call themselves Democrats not standing up to this. And more and more, the party is full of these people, and we've got to purge this sort of thing. Now, you know, I'm not against Pete. He's done a lot of good things for the environment, and I really don't know his record on his economics, but I wouldn't push it, you know, that he's on the corporate side.
Well, you know? I happen to know Pete on a personal basis, and I can tell you that he is he's a guy that the Democratic Party can really benefit from. It's not that he's going to be active. He's not going to run for office again. He's in his 70s.
Yeah, I understand. But
what he's done is made a public statement that I hope other Republicans will hear and maybe act on. And I don't think it's a risk to the Democratic Party for disaffected Republicans to register as Democrats. I understand your point, but the real purge should be for these centrist, corporate-oriented Democrats who try to have it both ways.
But these are the same ones. These are the same ones that we call in Democrats. But I don't think they're Democrats. I think they're Republicans. I mean, the Democratic Party is like you said yourself. They've taken the double yellow line and pushed it all the way to the right side of the lane.
Yes.
So, can we really call these DLC blue dog Democrats? You know, I mean, I've had a hard time calling them that.
Well, I understand your point, and it's all very challenging at this stage of the game, Chris, because the Democrats are so disappointing on so many fronts, and I raised that with Pete. I said, you know, are they really better? And, you know, I want to be clear that my bottom line is that the worst Democrat is probably better than a middle-of-the-road Republican on many issues. And on critical issues like Supreme Court nominations that only apply to senators, we have a lack of courage, and we also have people who have drifted to the right, like Senator Feinstein. And so do we throw Feinstein out of the Democratic Party?
Yep.
I'm not sure that okay, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. The polls show that she's very popular among most California Democratic voters, and most California Democratic voters think she's a good Democrat. So I think our charge is to illuminate, educate, and try to move people further to the left and let them know that they're not going to fall off the edge because because of the way the center has been pulled so far to the right.
But it's the trade policies. I mean, this would deal with the abortion issue is extremely disturbing, but it's our trade policies that is destroying our middle class, and our jobs are going overseas, and the Democrats are not fighting this, the so-called Democrats. I mean, I'm so disillusioned with the Democratic Party, but, you know, I've been a Democrat all my life, so I can't just quit, you know?
Right.
So hopefully we can make a change. But
well, on trade, I fully agree with you. It's shameful the way Democrats who claim that they represent working people have supported, and Bill Clinton deserves a lot of the negative credit here. So many people gloss over the negative aspects of his presidency, and NAFTA, GATT, WTO were low points in respect to the interests of working people in this country, and it was driven precisely by what you're describing, the DLC wing, the Democratic Leadership Council wing of the Democratic Party. Chris, Thanks for your call. Always good to hear from you. And it looks like Steve in Soledad's going to get the last word tonight. Hi, Steve.
Hi, I'm usually in Salinas, but I've got a couple of real quick things.
Uh-huh.
One, I think the biggest...
Talk right into your phone, Steve.
Okay, the biggest problem that the abortion rights activists have is that men don't get pregnant.
Yes, you're right.
And two, about this Supreme Court decision, could California pass a law saying, yes, it's illegal to have a late-term abortion, and if you do, the mother or the potential mother would be fined $5 and the doctor would be fined $5?
I don't think so, because it's a federal law. And
yeah, but there's no federal penalty yet.
Well, I'd have to go back to the legislation. I'm not clear on that. I believe that it does include criminal penalties.
Right, and that would be $5.
Well, but I think that they are prescribed in the federal law. So that, it's a good point. I'll look into it, Steve, but my guess is that that's already been covered.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate that call. Well, it's been a very interesting day. And I hope that it's been edifying for you. I want to thank everybody who called the program, all the people who send me emails. I appreciate your contributions. And we're going to see again tomorrow what's going on. Gonzalez will be on the Hill. I think that'll be a fascinating exchange. And we'll see what else develops in the meantime. Catch you tomorrow, same time, same stations.
Happy trails to you until again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It became clear today that Sun Hui Cho planned his murderous rampage at Virginia Tech very carefully. Sometime before the attack, he made a DVD that shows him speaking of it in the past tense.
When the time came, I did it. I had to.
The recording, along with a written statement and still photos of Cho posing with his guns, arrived today at NBC News. Authorities say Cho went to the post office and mailed the package between the first and second shootings on Monday morning. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr is in Blacksburg, Virginia.
I think the message here is in your face. This was a nobody, a man with few friends, a man that had no standing, no status, didn't talk much. This was a broadcast he intended to make after he had died.
More of Cho's troubled history came out today. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi has that.
It started in 2005 after police received a complaint that he was stalking two female classmates. First came the emails.
It was just sort of like, you know, I know who you are. Like, I want to talk to you. You know, I'm in love with you. Just sort of things like that.
This to classmates he never even spoke to. Sarah Stevens is friends with the two women. She says Cho showed up at one of their dorm rooms.
He wasn't friends with them. He wasn't talking to them.
No.
He just show up at the dorm.
Yeah, I've actually never seen him talk to anyone.
And Sarah was in classes with him for 3 years.
After being reprimanded for the stalkings, a suite mate reported that Cho spoke of killing himself. He was taken to a mental hospital. A court declared him mentally ill and a danger to himself. But after an evaluation, Cho became an outpatient. Because he went voluntarily, there was nothing on his background check that would have prevented him from buying guns. In a narrow 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court today upheld the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act.
Defending the ban, Justice Anthony Kennedy describes this abortion procedure as killing a fetus just inches from the completion of the birth process. He says the ban would not unduly harm a woman's health. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg accuses the court's conservatives of chipping away at abortion rights. Ralph Neas of People for the American Way says this is what President Bush has sought.
The replacement of moderate Justice Sandra Day O'Connor with the ultra-conservative Samuel Alito has brought the court to the brink.